Welcome to Open Gym, a weekly podcast bringing you the best ideas of the brightest minds in the gym business. My name is Patrick Cummings. I'm a brand coach to entrepreneurs and change makers, a longtime CrossFitter, and your host. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. This week, we're talking with John Lavelle, co-owner of CrossFit by Overload in Murrieta, California. Alongside his wife, Kira, John purchased the gym in 2016 after having been a coach there for a number of years. I got to John by way of recent guest, Adrian Bosman, after I asked Bos if he knew of any gyms doing interesting work toward the aims of the CrossFit Health Initiative. Last October, John and the Overload crew welcomed a number of senior athletes into the gym through a collaboration with the Rancho Family Medical Group. Though the program is paused now due to concerns around the coronavirus, it did not take long for them to see enthusiasm swell as the program got underway. I start the conversation by asking John how it was that his gym embarked upon this particular venture.
I would say I had somewhat of an unfair advantage. As CrossFit Health was launching, I had been working for a very large medical system as a business manager for some time. And so I had a lot of relationships in the community. So I work for now a community hospital. So a lot of doctors, a lot of medical groups, a lot of surgery centers. I mean, you name it. And I know someone in those organizations within a 100-mile radius here in Southern California. So just seeing what Greg was trying to do by, you know, essentially at the highest level, he's, you know, from my perspective, he was trying to get doctors in the health community to attack health from the front side of the equation rather than the backside, being proactive rather than reactive. And with that, you have, unfortunately, the largest population of people is your baby boomers. And so you have a population of people with severe degrading health. And, you know, I see it on the hospital side, you know, our health outcomes from obesity, chronic disease, you know, all the, you know, diabetes, COPD, CHF, all those things related to how the boomers were living their lives and how they lived their lives into retirement with sedentary lifestyle, you know, the abundance of carbohydrates in every meal that they were eating. You're now seeing the fallout on it on the healthcare side. And so Greg's answer to that was timely, but, you know, he had some work to do. And so the catch up was, you know, how do we take this population and educate the doctors that are taking care of them to triage the damage up front to allow these population to kind of gain control of their quality of life and move forward with it as long as possible with, you know, reduced medications, improved movement patterns, and just better overall health. And so getting those family physicians and those palliative care physicians on board with, hey, if you can do these two, some of these simple things, we can probably change and impact the lives of this population plus or minus 10 or 15 years with extreme quality of life advantages. So I think the idea Greg had was great. I think the challenge of getting all physicians on board is extremely daunting and hard. I think he put a big dent in it by doing so, what he's done so far. But you have so many physicians in what I'll call aging physicians. You know, we have these family medicine guys here in my area. I know, you know, they're pushing 75 years old and still practicing medicine. So this new message of, hey, let's try to get people off cholesterol medication and try to get them to eat like this. And you're in, let's get them moving. So your HDLs and LDLs kind of balance out and behave like they should rather than relying on a medication. That's a foreign concept to someone who's been practicing medicine over the last 50 years, unless they're the tip of the spear, let's call it. So every once in a while, you'll meet a doctor who kind of gets it, who understands, and, you know, they practice what they preach. And so they're saying, you know, I exercise with my family. They have a very healthy quality of life style. They eat correctly, plus or minus a few degrees of what Greg recommends. And so those guys are, you know, essentially outliers in the physician community. And I think Greg was just trying to make more of those a commonplace in the front line of healthcare. So with that, I had a relationship with a girl here in this area. She was a community liaison for the largest family medicine group called Rancho Family Medicine. And so she was a gymnast at a place that I worked at years ago with my wife as a kid. Her name is Chandler again. The last time I had seen her, she was a kid, like a 11, 12 years old probably. So I see her in one of these community events we're at, and I recognize her face, obviously. And I'm like, hey, that's Chandler. We used to train her in gymnastics. And she was running around the circle of this large group of physicians and mm-hmm. and mid-level practitioners. And so then I go on her Instagram and I'm like, oh yeah, hey, what's up? You know, long time. And I find out she's part of a local CrossFit gym in town here. We have a couple in town. And I just connected with her. And she ended up coming over and dropping into my box. And, you know, the next thing, she's now a member of my box. And we start talking about collaboration on what she does for the community, you know, how she serves the Rancho Family Medicine population and some ideas they have. And so now I have this relationship with Chandler, who is an employee for Rancho Family Medicine. And in this group, inherently, they are those doctors. They are the tip of the spear. They preach preventative medicine, proper diet, you know, exercising daily, less medication, you know, social, mental, and physical health as a collaborate approach to lifestyle. And so a couple conversations into Chandler and I having, you know, the possibilities and what CrossFit Health was doing, we kind of launched a 3-day a week program for this senior population. So I said, hey, let's take exactly what Greg is doing for these at-home workouts that they were pushing out at the time, and let's just do it with a group of seniors mm-hmm. and let's make it safe, let's make it fun, and let's see what happens. And so mm-hmm. at that point, we contractually came up with an agreement to host, you know, 1 to 3 classes a week, depending on the rollout. And I agreed to staff the class at a 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. hour, being led by my wife and one of my other coaches named Steven at the time, at the inception of the class. So we did that. And, you know, the Rancho Family Medicine, they pushed out to, I think they have about 8,000 senior lives assigned to them through their health network. So they compiled a list of all appropriate people that live in our area with via zip code and said, hey, you know, we're gonna offer you guys, on top of what we do for, you know, exercise classes and yoga and nutrition classes, we're gonna offer you guys this thing called CrossFit. And mm-hmm. I think day one, our first class, we had about, you know, 20 people show up to the class that were all over the age of 65 years old. And so it was amazing to see that adhesion to that model. So I, you know, kind of leading from the back, would you know, have discussions, obviously, with my wife, who was leading the classes, and Steven, and give recommendations on, you know, I think you guys should follow CrossFit Health, you know, keep the movement super simple, keep the workouts extremely fun, and intensity will be relative to the person. So this, luckily, this population, everyone kind of fit inside the same wheelhouse of what they were there to do and what they, you know, were capable of doing. So my coaches, you know, along with my wife, they did an amazing job educating this population to what CrossFit was, what the goals of the class were, and what to expect from this type of exercise regimen. So fast forward 3 months, you know, pre-COVID, you know, we started this whole thing in about October, November timeframe. Mm-hmm. You know, so before COVID hit, we had an extremely robust program with, you know, 3 classes a day with 35 participants on average for each class. And I think at that, when we finished, I had recruited more coaching staff to the class just because I thought it needed more eyes and hands on that mm-hmm. population. We had about 4 to 5 coaches in that hour taking care of that population. Yeah, kind of mm-hmm. help orchestrate and run the class.
Does anybody else, or did anybody else on your team, have experience working with this particular population? And if not, I wonder what, if any, hesitations you all might have had at the beginning as you were still kind of feeling it out and figuring out, okay, what is this program going to look like? What is the class going to look like? How are we going to coach them? What does intensity even mean at this point? Where were you guys kind of starting from at the beginning?
That's a great question. So ironically, no one had experience working with a senior population, but I had the idea that, you know, running a senior class shouldn't be far off from running like a toddler gymnastics class. Like, it's mm-hmm. very simple, very orchestrated to inclusivity and just easy to navigate the workouts and the movement. So we kind of, we course corrected a few times to do that. And so my wife and I both come from gymnastics backgrounds. So we met at a gymnastics facility, you know, we coached academy and recreational classes. So we both have a pretty strong background in how to organize classes and do things in a timely manner and keep engaged audiences like the toddlers happy and also doing things that we want them to be doing. So to keep it simple, really, that's what I kind of did was I said, let's model this senior class with the movements of CrossFit, kind of like a toddler gymnastics class. And I think it worked out well. So no direct experience with senior population. And I think, you know, like Greg says, the needs differ by degree, not kind. So you take the movements and the standards of CrossFit, and you're just layering it on for this population for different reasons. So, you know, the grandmother showing up to be able to carry the grocery bags in and sit down without pain in her knees and, you know, hold her grandchild in her arms without, you know, having her back ache.
What advantages do you see or have you seen in having a seniors specific class or classes versus just trying to get some seniors into the general population, come on in at the 7 a.m. class or the 6 p.m. class? Why did you guys decide, maybe it was just a factor of numbers, having so many of them, but why did you decide to do a separate program and not try to just integrate them into the regular population?
I guess I'll approach that one with two answers. Really, the contractual agreement with the group, the medical group, you know, this was an exclusive class for their members. So when they say, hey, we'll pay you to service our population, if I were to, oh yeah, we'll just throw them in this other class and we'll have this coach do this, like it probably wouldn't have felt as special to the population of people at that time. And I wanted to give them what I perceived as value. And so that focused the group on those particular needs is primarily number one, why I organized it that way. Number two, you're going to have a really hard time convincing a 65-year-old woman that she needs to get dirty and sweaty and do burpees and flip tires and, you know, run around. And it's a very rare occasion that you're going to get someone that's used to that type of workout regimen. Yep. And again, intensity is relative. So if she's around a bunch of meatheads throwing 300 pounds on a snatch, and even if she has a PVC pipe in her hand, she's still going to feel very out of place on that on-ramping type of acclimation. So I would just steer clear of that. If you have a class at 6 p.m. that is super family friendly, maybe you got a few moms in there, even, you know, a few teenagers, sure, throw the senior person into that class and walk them slowly. But for the most part, if you try to throw a senior into a regular CrossFit class, it is going to be very overwhelming just by what they are looking at in front of them. So to segregate them out and say, you know, you're going to be with a cohort of your peers and all of you are on the same page. All of you are here that know nothing about CrossFit and you're all going to learn about CrossFit at the same time. And, you know, no one's going to be super better or more acclimated to CrossFit. So it makes them more comfortable accepting that. You know, you could, again, take the analogy for kids classes, right? You could take an 8-year-old and throw them into an adult class, depending on the circumstances. But to keep, if you have an 8-year-old, they're certainly going to have a better time going to an hour-long class with 15 other 8-year-olds. It's just going to be more fun because they're all on the same page.
I'd love to get a little bit into the process of are actually getting to a point where you got a yes from this organization. Because they were already like-minded at least enough, do you feel like you had to convince them that this was a good idea? And if so, how did you do that? Or were they kind of immediately on board with, you know, the idea of coming to the gym and doing squats and whatnot?
Yeah, that I would say that the hardest part about that was using the word CrossFit. So all the doctors were very active and they rode bikes and went on hikes and they went to the regular gym, the Globo gym, whatever, with their family. As soon as I said a senior CrossFit class proposed the idea, I had to kind of talk people off the ledge and I had to show them the CrossFit Health videos and some literature on what we were trying to do. So that was the hardest part, just convincing them what CrossFit actually was and removing that stigma and not even a negative stigma, but it is a competitive at the CrossFit Games level, but CrossFit also can be these types of classes for this population. So just educating those physicians on how beneficial it could be at the right dose of CrossFit.
And did they buy that quickly, or was it a slow process, a long process? Were the videos enough? How did you get them bought in enough that they sort of signed off on it?
It was definitely a slow process, the overall consensus of them buying in. But as soon as they, and I got several, you know, text messages and phone calls from these doctors, and they're saying, you know, what are you doing with Rosa? Because every time Rosa comes in here, she's feeling better. She's talking. She's, you know, so the evidence on the other side after this had been rolled out, it was the compelling evidence that they needed. And it was the people, you know, the senior population losing weight. They were feeling better. They were, you know, asking to do more exercise like things. They were talking about, you know, doing yard work and not hurting. So just seeing even over a short time period, how this has changed the quality of life for the senior population was kind of the slam dunk I needed for that. And so the testimonials, I mean, like, so they were all willing to say, okay, CrossFit is exercise. They encourage proper nutrition and eating. Sure. Let's try it. Let's offer it. And again, this was very low hanging fruit for them to latch on. What we agreed upon contractually for financially to make these classes run, really, they were just covering the cost of running my class. So it was a really cool thing and a really easy thing for them to let's say gamble with. But sure, let's try this was their perspective. And I did have, obviously, you know, Chandler was a CrossFitter and a gymnast. So she definitely had my interest in mind when trying to get this idea out to that population as well. So she was certainly an advocate inside the organization.
So given that you've really only had a chance to do, you know, four months of this training and already seeing results and, you know, the athletes are already seeing results and wanting more, did that surprise you, or does that surprise you that you were able to affect change in really a pretty short amount of time? I mean, most folks are just sore for 3 months. Were you surprised that it was as effective as it's been?
No, because at the same token, when you get a 30-year-old, my favorite type of clientele are the 30 to 40 year old dads who did high school sports and stopped doing anything, because although they're sore for 3 months when you first get your hands on them, they're the ones that experience the greatest, most drastic lifestyle changes. So we all know that doing CrossFit regularly is going to improve your range of motion, your flexibility, your strength, your cardiovascular health. So all those things, if you look at it from any population, you're going to see those benefits. And so I absolutely knew that these seniors, if they just trusted the trainers and developed that relationship and then showed up consistently, they were going to see these changes. What I didn't expect is most of my senior population, especially the women, kind of were getting into the nitty gritty of the intensity. So they would, it was the coolest thing to see. A bunch of old ladies leaving your complex with the reddest faces and sweat dripping down their heads, and you know, their hair they just got done the morning of is just all over the place. I mean, that certainly showed you a change from class one to the last class we ran.
Yeah.
So seeing that kind of that mechanism change inside their mindset is why I think it worked as well. And it's the same thing that happens to a 30-year-old male. They come in, have never done a burpee or ran around a 400 a couple times. And it's shocking to feel that way for the first time. And I think, you know, they go through the same acclimation process as any population.
You mentioned needing to earn trust at the early stages of this, and that obviously exists in, you know, whether an athlete is 76 or 26, right? But is there anything special that you found that you've done well, or maybe even that you didn't do as well as you could and look forward to being able to do again, as it relates to earning that trust with this specific population? Were they more reticent? Were they more excited? Is there, like, how do you balance, or how do you compare, you know, the 35-year-old and the 65 as it relates to how you approach them, how you start these relationships, and how you build the kind of trust necessary to get them to buy in and get them consistent?
Again, having kind of leaned on this, and I know this may not be what people want to hear, but I kind of had an unfair advantage where I knew most of their doctors. So when I had a guy named Larry, he went in and to his cardiologist, who was a really good friend of mine, and was like, "Hey, I'm doing this CrossFit thing." And this Larry had, you know, had been struggling with some things, and as simple as the cardiologist saying, "Oh, I know John very well. He's a good guy. You're in good hands." That alone is enough to, you know, when they have conversations at McDonald's and they're drinking coffee, that's how that reputation gets spread. And so that trust gets replicated on their peers just by that, with those conversations. And so as long as I don't drop the ball and I don't hurt someone or I don't ignore something that I should be paying attention to, I think that's the best thing, is just to prove to this population. And you don't need the doctors to reinforce the trainer. You just have to be consistent when they show up every time that they're going to go home safe with a little bit of sweat running down their eyebrows and breathing kind of hard. And you kind of turn that dial on for them, and they're going to basically start feeling better. And when they start feeling better, they're going to keep coming and trust you more and more. To start that trust off, you kind of have to plead your case with them. Like, hey, I'm here to help you. I want you to feel better. I want you to get something out of this class. But I don't think you understand what that will be unless you just kind of go down this path with me. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned you had the unfair advantage of kind of knowing their doctors. I wonder how a gym owner or coach or coaches might start to develop those kinds of relationships, assuming that they don't already have them. Like, what would you advise to be the first steps? The first, you know, is it an email? And if so, what does that email say? Is it a, you know, is it, can I take you out to coffee? Like, how do you start to bridge that gap between not knowing anybody who might be able to help connect you with these, with this population and these kinds of folks, to where you can kind of lean on their trust a little bit to say, listen, your doctor is recommending that you come to us. Here's what this means, et cetera, et cetera.
So I think the lowest hanging fruit in that context is going to be every gym owner. I mean, I'd be willing to bet anything, you're going to already have doctors as members and not even know it. You're going to have nurses. You're going to have physical therapists. You're going to have respiratory therapists. And all those people are your members, and they're going to trust you, obviously. So just getting to know your own current clientele and asking what they do for work, you may find out you have more resources available to you than you realize. Well, you know, even before I met Chandler, I had a couple doctors in my box, but I never, you know, put two and two together and tried to service this population of people. So it wasn't even a thought until I had someone that kind of specialized in the senior population present some ideas. So I would say, as a box owner, if you don't know what every single person in your gym does for a profession, find out. And then from there, you're going to find resources or connections or networking opportunities in those people that you currently have relationships with that you could leverage.
You had mentioned earlier that I think you started with like a 10 a.m. class, which strikes me as a really interesting, useful way to take advantage of hours in the day where most gyms are pretty quiet. Is this an opportunity that other gyms should, in your mind, look at, if for no other reason than this population just so happens to have some flexibility in their calendar?
Absolutely. And so let's switch gears to talking about the motivations for a business model of how you can make a CrossFit gym more successful, and then also in turn re-support the community and kind of fuel your passion. Any gym owner knows that there are an extreme number of downtime hours where your gym has nothing going on. And so the golden question, for at least since I've owned the gym, is how do you fill the hours of your giant gym with someone that can utilize the space and appreciate the space and share the liability and the risk of the space? And so this magical population of people who are retired and have a little bit of disposable income and, you know, have the urge now and the interest to do CrossFit, you couldn't ask for a better fit for a 10 a.m. hour than that population of people. So yeah, I just think it was an extremely lucky coincidence that those two things kind of found each other, I guess. And you can make something like that work. And then, you know, your gym, unless you have something else going on at 10 a.m., really, you just find the coaching staff that maybe they're not already there. You bring some coaching on. And to start a class like this doesn't take a whole lot if you already have an existing affiliate that's running and has those down hours. I would say just find some hours that you can plug a coach in and be there as yourself if you're not the owner and the coach, and help get this thing off the ground and be there and shake hands and, you know, smile at the people coming in and give them a little bit more of a comfort or solace as they're trying something.
What do you see as the future? I know you've only been able to do this for a couple months. I get the sense that you're excited about just obviously just getting back to it and letting it grow and continuing to see where it goes. But what do you see as the future for this particular program, either in your gym or maybe even more broadly in other gyms across the country, across the world? Where do you think the potential is here?
Personally, I think the future of this type of thing for CrossFit, for the CrossFit methodology, is going to be something we're all looking forward to in every age group, is its inclusivity. And this breakthrough that, you know, I kind of had with this population, I think it's a global movement. And so you're going to see the boomers start to get older in age, and, you know, they're kind of the test group of this. And then you're going to backtrack into, you know, the 40, 50 year olds that are going to be going into retirement. And as any box owner knows, your main demographic of paying members is the 30 to 50 year olds. So, you know, as the 50 year olds start to acclimate and turn into the retiring generation, they're going to keep doing this. And so your 50 year olds now, which are a large part of CrossFit affiliates, are going to keep doing CrossFit. So I think what the future is, you're going to see a giant need for inclusivity of the aging population with a CrossFit offering. So you're going to see less of trying to pull the boomer population into this and educate them. And you're going to see maybe a shift in the next 5 to 10 years of, well, I already have this population of people, and I just have to keep classes open for them and, you know, re-engage that population. So I think the advantage to the CrossFit gym is we already have a lot of people that are going to do CrossFit until the day they die. That's a very compounding equation, I think, and the numbers are going to be very vast as you see this the world grow and the populations kind of shift out a little bit. So I think there's a lot, I mean, I guess the future, I think there's more. There's a lot more service to be done. There's a lot more lives to be changed. And it's not going to reside just in your 30 to 50 year population much longer. You're going to see all ends of the spectrum kind of be touched by CrossFit methodology.
Thank you to John for the conversation and to you, as always, for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you have, please leave us a review. And consider sharing the show with someone who might find it valuable. Open Gym is part of the Morning Chalk Up Podcast Network. My name is Patrick Cummings. Stay strong, my friends.